Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is probably the last things that Paul ever wrote. This is his last will and testament, as some have said. This is his swan song. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God, and Paul's charging Timothy, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and at His kingdom. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Notice that, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I preach about that. And let's just come down to verse number 20. Well, let's keep going. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou on all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but also them that love His appearing. Verse number 9 says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Paul said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians, to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Luke was a physician. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he has profited me for the ministry. And Tychus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I have left at Troas with Carpus, which thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. There's a lot of messages here. And I just come down to verse number 21. Paul's giving Timothy these instructions there. In verse 9 he told him, he said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. In verse 21 he says this to him. He said, do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, Linus, and Claudius, and all the brethren. I want to preach on do thy diligence to come before winter. And winter is a cold, weary time of the year, and it's a time where they couldn't travel very much. It's a time where it's a lot harder to do things. And Paul's telling the young preacher, Timothy, said, do thy diligence to come before winter. And I will preach, I'm going to come before winter this morning. Our Father, I pray Your blessing now upon the message, God. Pray the Lord that You would speak to us. I pray the Holy Spirit would take the Word of God and drive it in our hearts, God, and take these words, God. You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and feed us this morning, God. May the Holy Spirit would do what I cannot do and move these people and open up, God, and pray we'd be honest and open with You this morning, God, and feed us and speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And Paul said, do thy diligence to come before winter. And winter is a time where it's harder and difficult time to do things. And the word diligence means to be serious. Paul said it means to be, the word diligent occurs 62 times in the King James Bible. It means to be steadfast and earnest and have energy. And it means to be diligent, serious, and careful in what you're doing. And Paul says, be diligent to come before winter. In other words, Paul said, you need to do it, and do it now, is what he said. Well, in the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it said, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord. Proverbs 4:23, it said, keep thy heart with all diligence. Hebrews chapter 11:6, said, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently means to be serious. It means steadfast. And Paul said, be diligent to come before winter. And it's a season. Life travels in seasons. You know that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3:1 verse says, for everything there is a season. There's a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up, a time to kill, a time to heal, etc. Life is a series of seasons. We'll go through certain things. When you're born, you grow up, you know, you become an infant, you become a child, then you become a young adult, then you become a parent, then you become grandparents and elderly. You keep going, life seasons, and you go through certain seasons of life. Acts chapter 24, one time, Paul standing before Felix, and the Bible said that Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And Felix trembled. He said, Paul, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. We don't have many convenient seasons in this life. Most of the things you do in this life, I'm going to tell you, you're just going to have to be diligent and do them. And life travels in seasons. Winter is part of seasons. It's a cold, weary, gray, difficult time of the year. It's a lot harder to do things. And life has its winter seasons. We go through things. There's going to be a come a time in your life, I want you to notice, and it's getting that way every day, every week. There's going to get times where it's going to be a whole lot more difficult to do things than it is today. You know what that's called? It's called winter. It'll be times in your life you're not going to be able to do the things you could do today. You can't do the things that you used to do when you were 20. You know that? Have you figured that out yet? You can't do the things that you used to do when you were 40 or 50. You can't do the things you used to do. And it's the seasons of life. And life travels that way. We talk about spring, you know, everything comes to life. Then you have summer, that's the heat and cool. Then you have autumn and fall, things slow down, the leaves fall. Then you get the winter years, it gets cold and dreary. It gets a lot harder to live. Song of Solomon one time, it says, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds has come, the voice of the turtle. That's like spring. In winter time, everything kind of deads, it gets a lot harder to do things. And you and I, in our life, we're going to go through the winter seasons. And that's what Paul's saying. He's telling Timothy over there, he said, do thy diligence to come before winter. And I want to preach a few minutes on come before winter. And I will give you some few things about winter. And winter's a time when it's cold. You know what people like to do? They like to stay in when it's cold. They like to hibernate. We don't like to get, I don't like to be cold. I go walk at the park about every morning. And I walk normally when it's cold, but I've noticed, Miss Martha, they'll walk in the rain, but they won't walk in the cold. They don't mind getting wet a little bit, but when it gets about 25 degrees out there, me and my son went out there the other day. He walked with me, and there's about one other person there. I told my son, I said, there'll be a lot of folks out here, but we went out there, there wasn't hardly any. Because it was, you say, why? It was cold. Winter's a time of cold. We talk about in the Bible, it talks about to winter. Titus chapter 3:2, he said, for I have determined there to winter. That phrase winter, it means a place where you just kind of sit down and hibernate and take it easy. Because when the winter time, it's cold, and you know what happens when it gets cold? We'll lose our zeal and our desire to serve the Lord. Over in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4, it says this, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. You know what winter is? It's a time of cold. We're not as active as we normally are. We're not as energetic. It's just the way it is. And when I get cold, you know what? I get cold. I'm a kind of guy, I don't go from chills, Miss Annie Mae. I just go to cold. I don't get chills, my wife will tell you. I'm either hot or cold. I don't have a lukewarm speed in me. I'm either hot or cold. And when I get cold, I get cold. I'm cold. I don't like to be cold. And when you get cold, I mean, you lose your energy, you lose your zip. And winter's a time of cold. And you and I, as a child of God, we need to do our diligence to do what we need to do before winter comes. Because winter's coming in your life. You know, it got so cold, somebody said, people were eating at Taco Bell just for the heartburn. It got so cold that Grandma's teeth was chattering in the glass by the bed. It got so cold that chickens were rushing down to Kentucky Fried Chicken just to begging to jump in the pressure cooker. It got so cold that rats were begging the cats to snuggle up with them. It got so cold that the cows, when they were milked, they were putting out ice cream. People are emptying their freezers and climbing inside just to stay warm. Sometimes it gets cold. Cold is a time, the Bible says, it's more than just lacking a temperature. Cold is lacking affection or warmth or feeling and emotional. Matthew 24, verse 12, Jesus said, the last days that the love of many iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. What does that mean? That means we get indifferent. We get cold. And when winter time's a time of cold. And as a child of God, you know what? A lot of times, we'll go through some winter days. And I'm not talking about just physical cold. I'm talking about those days when it's hard to praise God. I'm talking about those days, brother, we're just kind of cold and indifferent with the Lord. And the thing is, do thy diligence before winter comes. When you're God speaking to you and you're on cloud nine and you're doing what you need to do, brother, you need to do what you can do when you can do it. Because the time may come, brother, where you may not be able to do it, and that coldness might set in. And we've seen it, I've seen it 100 times. It's happened to me, it happens to everybody here. We have those days, those winter spiritual days. We have those days we're cold and we're indifferent. I gave you that statistic a while back. where they say that the average person wakes up on the wrong side of the bed 300 days a year. That's when they wake up kind of mad and grumpy. We do the same thing with the Lord. We have our winter days ahead, and winter is normally that day that's gray and bleak and windy and yucky, and we lose our focus, and we can get that way spiritually a lot of times. We all do it. Let's just be honest. We all have those days like that. And we need to be diligent, do thy diligence, to come before winter, do what we can while we can. Because a time may come, you won't be able to do it. Here's a great book Charles Spurgeon wrote. I'm not a fan of Spurgeon. He is a five-point Calvinist, and a lot of his stuff, I just can't hardly read it. It's so Calvinistic. But he wrote this book called Lectures to My Students, the Preachers. And it's a great book. It's a great book. And he's got one chapter in here I love. Miss Martha, is called The Minister's Fainting Fits. Fainting. Talking about the days we get cold. Talking about those winter days. He says this: as it is recorded that David in the heat of battle waxed faint, so may it be written of all the servants of the Lord. Fits of depression come over most of us. Usually cheerful as we may be, we must at intervals be cast down. The strong are not always vigorous, and the wise not always ready, the brave not always courageous, and the joyous not always happy. There may be here and there men of iron to whom wear and tear is no perception, but surely the rust frets on most of us. And so for our ordinary man, the Lord knows and makes him to know that they are nothing but dust. We'll go through the fainting spells. He goes on, it is not necessary by quotations from the biographies of ministers to prove that seasons of fearful prostration have fallen to the lot of most, if not all of them. The life of Martin Luther might suffice to give 1,000 instances, as he was by no means of the weaker sort. His great spirit was often in the seventh heaven of exaltation, as frequently on the borders of despair. His very deathbed was not free from tempest, and he sobbed himself to his last sleep like a little baby crying, dying. So what is that? Winter months, winter time, the time will come in your life, my friend. We could be on the mountain, and that's one reason we like those old songs that we sing. He's the God of the valley, he's the God of the mountain. Because a lot of times we get in the winter valley, and there's time, brother, while we're there, we need to do what we can do. Do thy diligence to come before winter, because winter is going to come. And it'll be on the time when we get cold. Turn to John chapter 18 real quick. John chapter 18. Winter is a time of cold. We all get cold in the Lord sometimes. Paul says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Come in the days when you can serve God, when God's speaking to you and things are going well. There's times in my life I love to read the Word of God. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Bible reader. Bible believers read the Bible. That's what I am. I'm a Bible reader. I love to read the Word of God. And I read it in the morning, and I read it in the evening, and I love it, and it speaks to me. But I'll confess to you, Miss Rachel, there's some time when I read the Word of God, I love this old Bible. But there are times when I read it, my heart and my head wonders. There are times when I read the Word of God, Miss Annie May, I'll be honest with you, there's times I'm kind of cold and indifferent to it, Miss Jane. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, there's times when I read this Word of God, it's like the Holy Ghost has got an IV right in me, man. I mean, it's bypassed the flesh, and God, the Holy Ghost, is just putting that thing in directing me, brother. And I'm going to tell you, when those times come, I just try to keep reading. I've read many times the whole book of Genesis, all 50 chapters. I've read many times the book of Matthew, 28 chapters. I've read many times the whole books of the Bible. You say, why? Because God is just speaking to me, and I don't want to quit, Miss Martha. I want to milk it all I can. I don't want to let it go. And there's times when I try to read 3 or 4 chapters, Miss Martha, I get hardly little. See, what is that? Winter time. Time when it gets cold. Like old Spurgeon said, those fainting fits. Look at John chapter 18. There's our friend Peter. Remember old Peter? Peter was a great guy. He loved the Lord. And remember Jesus said they were going to go to deny him. And he said, Lord, though they all deny you, I'll never deny you. I'll die with you. And he meant every word of it. Peter loved the Lord. He meant it. Look at John chapter 18. You know what happened. Here's what happened with Peter. Here's what got Peter in trouble. Here's what got him in trouble. Mark chapter 14, it said Peter followed him afar off. He got away from the Lord. And look what happened in John chapter 18, verse 18. Here he was, and he's following the Lord, and he's afar off. And the Bible said, John 18, 18, and the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. I preach about that. For it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. You know what happens a lot of time, friend? If we're not careful, we can get cold in the Lord. Just like Peter, he loved God. He'd have died for Jesus Christ, there's no doubt. And that night he followed him afar off, and the Bible said he got cold, and he sat down with the world and warmed himself in the fire. And a little bit later, you know what Peter did? He denied the Lord. You say, why? He got cold. You know what will happen, my friend, if you're not careful? Do thy diligence to come before winter, because winter's a time when you can get cold in the Lord. And it happens to every one of us. I don't care who you are. They're just that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about his walk with the Lord. He was a tough guy. Verse 27, he said, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, and hunger and thirst and fastings, and in cold and cold and nakedness. There are seasons in a Christian walk, brother, when we walk with the Lord and it's cold. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he read it when he told the young preacher, he said, preach the word. He said, be instant in season and out of season. Brother Chris knows what I'm talking about. I mean, there are times you get up, preach the word of God, you're out of season, man. You're not ready to preach the word of God. There's time when you preach the word of God, you feel like God's away from you, kind of cold. You know what Paul said? He said, hey, Timothy, preach it in season, and you preach it out of season. Because there's going to come some time in your walk with the Lord. I don't care who you are. There's going to be the winter months. It's a time of cold. And Paul said, do thy diligence to come before winter. Do what you can before that winter shows up. Because it's coming. Not only is winter a time of cold, I'll tell you something else about winter. Winter is known as a time of old. Talk about when people get up in their elder years. You know what they call them? They call them the winter years. Ecclesiastes 3:1, every time there's a season, there's a purpose under the heaven. There's a seasons of life we go through. When it's spring, early life, that's when you come to life. That's when you and I are kind of born. A spring, then we go through, after spring, go through the summer. That's when you become a young adult. You start working yourself crazy in the toil and heat of the day and raising a family. Then as you get a little bit older and your family gets older, you hit the autumn years. That's when you can sit back and rest a little bit. And they talk about the nest getting barren. That's when the nest gets barren. That's when in nature where the nest is barren, your kids grow up, they move away. That's kind of the autumn years. Then as you get older, you know what they call them? The winter years. That's those years, those elderly years when you get older. And let me tell you, every one of us, we're either there or getting there pretty quick. Winter is coming, those winter years. Billy Bass sung that song. The Lord still lives in this old house. I love that song. I love Brother Billy. The sweetest fellowship I've known has fortified these walls. Since Jesus saved my soul from hell and lived inside these halls. With snow upon the rooftop now, talking about his head. With snow upon the rooftop now and these hinges near worn out, it's such a joy to know the Lord still lives in this old house. You know what? The snow will start getting on the housetop and the hinges will start squeaking. I've got a shoulder bother me this morning, a little bit of bursitis in back. I got something every single day. That old song, this old house is getting shaky, this old house is getting old. This old house lets in the rain, this old house lets in the cold. Oh, my knees are getting shaky and I feel some aches and pains. I can see an angel peeking through a broken window pane. This old house is about wore out, but I'm getting ready to meet the sun. You know what? Winter's a time of old, just the way it is. Over there in 1 Kings chapter 1, there's David. And David had gotten old, and he just laid in bed. They couldn't get him to do nothing. And it said this in 1 Kings chapter 1:1, how King David was old and stricken in years. Stricken. The word stricken means smitten. It means worn out. It means tired. David was stricken in his years, and they covered with clothes. But he got no heat. He is cold. And they went and got a young virgin, a beautiful lady, a girl to lay down with and try to warm him up. And the Bible said he desired her not. You say, what was it? Winter's a time of old where you just get older and there's no pleasure. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now the Creator in thy days of youth, while the evil days come, nor the years draw nigh, when thou sayest, I have no pleasure in them. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Do what you can before it's too late. I got news for you. You can't do what you could do when you were 20. Now, sometimes we think we can. We got a spring mindset, but we got a winter body. Some of the great athletes, Roger Federer, one of the great tennis players, he's in his 40s, early 40s. And me and my son was talking about it. My son loves tennis, and he's still great. And he wins some, but he's nowhere near as good as what he was. He can beat 95%. Tom Brady is nowhere near what he was. When he gets up in years, the mind is still in the spring. It's still young. But those bodies are getting older. And you and I cannot do what we could do when we were 20. We can't do it. We can't do what we could do at 40. And Paul said, do that diligence to come before winter. Because the winter months are coming. Sometimes, I remember Brother Bob Smith, I got a couple in here. He couldn't button up his shirt. I bought him a couple of little button things. I got some still back here, I think. That allows you, so you can take your button and pull it through this little wire thing and pull it through the hole and it'll button your hole. He got where he couldn't button his shirts. And there's things we can't do. And the winter months are coming. Do thy diligence to come before winter. But the thing is, brother, while we're here and things are still going, we need to do what we can. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Because the thing is, we're getting older every day. You realize that? You realize that? We're getting older every day. When I started coming to this church, May 2010, 10 years ago, Miss Martha, I was a 55-year-old young man, Miss Rachel. I'll be 65 in a couple of weeks. That's how fast time goes. Every week, you get a little bit older. In the 10 years I've come to this church, I've seen many people get mad to leave. I've seen many people pass away, go home to be with the Lord. I've seen this church roll over and change many times. We've been through things. I've seen people sick. I've seen people go through things. I've been through health problems. My wife's been through health problems. Y'all been through health problems. All that stuff just keep going. Day by day rolls on. You know what? We're getting older. Winter is coming soon. And it's already here to some extent. You know what we need to do? Do what we can while we can. I think of Brother Marvin Glass. That fellow, 80-something years old, one of the best soul winners I've ever seen. One more soul. That old fella, he pastored 8 churches in his days, Brother Chris. But he got dementia so bad, heart disease. And he told me several times through the years, he said, Brother Terry, I'm too old. I can't preach no more. Can't preach, can't do that anymore. Can't remember stuff, Brother Terry. I just can't. But he said, I can still compel. He said, God told me to be a compeller, to compel them to come in. He said, I can't preach, but he can do something. We may be in the winter months. We can't do what we could do at 20 or 30 or 40. I can't preach like I used to preach. Man, I used to preach a little bit. I'm getting an old guy. I'm getting to be where I can't hardly jump around, run around like I used to. I preach at Glory Land here. A month ago at their watch night, and Miss Terry came up to me. She said, Brother Terry, she said, that was like old time seeing you run around jumping. I said, well, that's not like old time. She said, well, I didn't want to say nothing, but she said, you have lost a few steps there and there. I said, I've lost more than that. I can't do what I used to do, but I can still do a little bit. I can still do something like Brother Earl used to say. I talked to Brother Earl the other day, this week in fact. And Brother Earl has a lot of health issues. He has hernia problems. He has back problems. He has stomach problems. He can't hardly. A couple of times he's been here, and I said, you want to go out to eat? He said, Brother, I'm on a clear diet. I can't eat. I said, we're going to go someplace and get us. He said, I'm on a clear diet like water. He has pancreatitis really bad. I talked to him this week, was talking, and he's someplace, and he's fixing to go to Virginia, I think it was, and had to preach a revival that night. And he said, Brother Terry, he said, I got to drive 5 hours to get there. And he said, I'm going to go preach there. And he said, after I get through preaching, I got another church that's 6 hours away the next day. I got to leave there right after I get through preaching, and I got to get those 6 more hours and drive. And he said, I tell you, preacher, he said, this thing's getting old. It's wearing me out.
But he said this. He said, I'm going to keep doing it while I can do it. But he said, it ain't like it used to be. You know what? Winter's coming. Do thy diligence before winter comes. I think of Brother Charlie Andrews over there watching him when he was out there. I remember that guy, man, he could take on a mule or an ox by himself. Man, he has a hard time. Some of you saw him getting up here. Say, what's happened? Winter's setting in. Do thy diligence before winter comes. Do what you can now. Whatever you might be able to do, do it while you can. Because the time's going to come where you're not going to be able to do it. Winter's a time of cold. And as the days roll by, you know what? It'll get colder. It'll get older. I'll tell you something else about winter. Winter's a time of mold. Of mold. You say, what do you mean? That's when mold and mildew grows. That's when the flu breaks out in the winter. Winter's a time when flu and sickness and germs and colds make out. You say, why? Because the winter helps it to thrive and grow. The sun and the heat will kill those germs. But the winter has it to thrive and grow. And you and I, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the world, in the winter of the world. And the world, the mildew and the stuff can infect us. Brother, we can lose our sight of the Lord. I was reading on the internet here about the flu season. The CDC website says this. There's no fixed date for the start of the flu season. Instead, flu season is marked by the winter months coming and the weather cooling down. That's when it gets infected. That's when you and I are in trouble spiritually. Influenza may circulate lightly through populated through the entire year, it says, causing a few infections. But winter weather triggers the flu to be exponentially more active. Flu season typically falls somewhere between the fall and the end of spring. For the past three decades, flu activity peaked sometime between the months of October, but always tapers off in April when it gets warm. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you those winter times in your life, if you're not careful, you can get stuck in the mildew and the mold of the world and get infected with the things of the world, and it can take you out of the service for God. They're talking about that coronavirus. I've been giving you things about that. And CDC and some of them are saying, if we can just get to April. They said that we can keep it contained to April, because when the heat comes out and it starts, the sun starts coming out and it starts getting warmer, it'll kill those germs. Winter's a time of mold. It becomes mold and mildew of the world. And if you're not careful, we can lose our energy and our effectiveness and just feel yucky when it comes to serving God. The Bible said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And brother, when you lose the joy, you lose that strength of God in you. Over in Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Brother, the best thing you can do is rejoice in the day that God gives you. I'll tell you, winter's a time when it gets moldy. And it'll get mildewy. It's a time of cold. Time when we get older in life. We get moldy with the world. The Bible talks about in Mark chapter 4. Jesus says the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things. He said they'll choke the word of God and it'll make it unfruitful. And that's like the mold of the world. In the winter it grows if you're not careful. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Before those winter months come through. Because there's going to come a time, my friend, I'm going to tell you. If the Lord tarries and you live a natural life, there'll come some times in your life, they're going to come, and they'll be here like that, where you're not going to be able to do what you do now. It's going to happen. I mean, most of us here are fairly healthy. Even Uncle Reuben and Auntie May, they can run, turn a flu cartwheel if I've seen them. I mean, nobody here's walking with a walker. Nobody here's got any oxygen. Nobody here's in a wheelchair. Just everybody here can go to this grocery store and hand out a gospel tract. Everybody here can do something for God. We can't do what we used to do, but we can do something. But there's going to come a time, my friend, if you tarry, you might be laid up like Miss Faye Wagman. You may be like some other folks where you can't get out of bed and you can't do anything. Hey, let's do what we can while we can. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Because you know what scares me more than anything? Is not being able to serve the Lord. That scares me. Death don't scare me. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to cashing that thing in. I'm looking forward to meet the Lord. I want to see Him, brother.
I know whom I've committed unto him. I'm not worried about that deal. I'm like Billy Graham. I'm looking for that great anticipation. Like Brother Charlie, when they had a problem with him, he said, I'm ready to go. I got a few things I want to do, but I'm ready to go. Death don't bother me. What scares me, Miss Rachel, is getting down here in this place, health-wise or something, where I can't serve God. That terrifies me. I want to serve Him. I want to do whatever I can before the winter months comes in. And I know the time will come in my life, if I live a natural life, it's going to be where I'm not going to be able to do the things I'd like to do for the Lord. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Because I want to say winter's a time of old. It's a time when we get cold and older and can't do things. It's a time of mold and mildew in the life. Sometimes you get stuck in this world and they just suck the life out of you if you're not careful. I'll give you one more thing. And I won't say winter's a time. It's a time of toad. See, what do you mean, preacher? You know what winter is? When you get up in years and you sit back. A lot of people like the winter. They like to get around and sit by the fireplace and just talk about those good old days. You know what it is when you get in the winter years? A lot of times, just like Miss Annie Mae, she's got these beautiful, precious memories of singing with her family. When I was up at the hospital with her, she and I would sit by the bed sometimes. She remembers, and she'd tell me about growing up with her mom and singing those songs and all that. You know what that is? That's a time toad. See, there's going to come a time in your life when you look back, friend, and you look back these days and think of the days in the house of God. Think of the days on the street. Think of the days leading a soul to Jesus Christ. Think of the days maybe of singing. And all those days of watching TV and internet and Facebook, all that stuff will mean nothing. There's going to come a time, brother, when all you've got maybe is the time that was told. I was talking to Brother Trotter the other day. And I've known him a long time. He's 88. He was telling me on the phone a while back. And he's in great shape compared to most people. Really good. But he said, I can't pastor anymore or do anything like that. He said, I fill in for folks and do what I can. He said, here and there and try to do something. But he said, he's telling me about that church he had out there in Birmingham Baptist Church. And he told me, Brother Terry, he said, one Sunday, I had 43 people get baptized. 43. Can you believe? You know what that is? And he was telling me on the phone about that thing, Miss Martha, and he was just shouting a little bit on the phone. You know what that is? That's when those winter years come and there's a time toad. He can go back and think of those days, man, and get excited about those days. I asked Stuart Gregg. Stuart Gregg went to that church, Birmingham, the missionary we support. And I asked Stuart Gregg about that later. I said, Brother Trotter said he baptized 43 people. He said, that's true, brother. He said that God showed up in that church for a little while. He said, like nothing I've never seen. You know what that is? That's a time that's told. I write down every message I preach and take notes on. I keep a journal of every message. I tell who's here, come to the altar. I got everything about it. I go back to Jimmy Hale Mission when I preach there. I got notes about those services. You say, why? Because I want to remember those days when God moved. I want to sometime, if I can't get where this mind don't work, maybe I can go back and just rejoice in those days, Miss Rachel, and just rejoice knowing how God did something. Because the winter days may come and it might just be a time that's told. I love that singing tape we got to Miss Annie Mae. Boy, I love that. Me and my wife, we've been wearing it out, man. We've been playing it over and over in my car. It's so precious, Miss Annie Mae. And I was telling my son, I said, that tape is probably 50 or 60 years old, them singing this up here. You know what that is? That's a time that's told. I wouldn't take $1 million for that. I wouldn't take a million. I know she wouldn't take $1 million. That $1 million money is not nothing compared to something like that. I mean to have it. I've been listening a lot of time lately since I got this car. I put a lot of old tapes I hadn't listened in a while on USB and stuff. And I've been listening to a lot of these preachers. A lot of these old preachers, every one of them's gone home to be with the Lord. But boy, though they're dead, their blood speaketh. Though they're dead, there's a time, there's a tale that's told there. The winter months came, they don't go home to be with the Lord, but they left something because the time's going to come when there's nothing left. but those precious memories. There's going to come a time, brother, when all you got's that. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? To have all that stuff that you did for God buried up in here. And when you get to that place where you can't do nothing, where you can't maybe like Miss Faye Wyman, I bet Miss Rachel, you have a good time talking to her. I know that lady served God. She played piano here, played piano at churches, and she's got a lot of precious memories back there. And you know what God will do? I've seen it many times. Some of these old saints get like that, where they can't hardly get up, can't hardly remember day to day. But God keeps those old memories just so fresh in their head. And they can go back to those days when they walked with God, and they can just relive some of that joy. You know what winter is? Sometimes it's just a time that's told. I'm trying everything I can just to take and bank up those days in my life serving God. And me and my family for years and years, like Miss Annie Mae's family, we'd sing and play in churches all the time, and my kids would play. And my kids played ever since they were little bitty old things. My little boy, literally, when he used to carry a guitar, the guitar was bigger than him. He'd drag the ground, but he could play it. And they'd play. We played in churches, all missions all over the place years ago. And we would usually practice at night after they get their homework done. We had a great time. We'd sit around. Usually be about 9 or 10 o'clock, Miss Annie Mae. And we'd work those songs up and practice those songs. And we'd laugh and cut up. And Rachel would get mad a lot of time. If you need to do this, she'd try to keep us on. And my kids had told me so many times, Dad, that was some of the most wonderful times of my life. Now see, I could have wasted that sitting in a boot tube or something like that, and it wouldn't be nothing. They talk about the mission. They went to the mission for years and years and years and years and years, my kids. It used to be my little boy. He was so little. He was in a little car chair. We put him on a car chair on the piano. And my wife played a piano. He's there. And my little guys, they were so little. They were there. We started getting to quote scripture. They'd stand up on the stage and quote Bible verses and sing songs, Miss Rachel. You know what that is? Memories. You know what that is? That's a time told. That's when you get in life in winter years, you can go back and look at those days and say, well, thank God I got something to hold on to. What are you trying to say? Do thy diligence to come before winter, because winter's right around the corner, and you're not going to be able to go back and hit reverse and do it. Do what you can. Like Jesus said, do what thou doest. Do as quickly. Do as quickly. Father, pray your blessing now upon the message, Father. Pray, Lord, thank you, Father, that we do have a chance to do something for you. Lord, I love it, God, and love being able to serve you and try to do what I can, Lord. And I want to do so much more, Lord. And look forward to the day to meet you, Lord. And look forward to that day face to face, God. And Lord, I just want to do what I can while I'm here. Like Brother Charlie, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. But while I'm here, I want to try to do what I can. Try to do a few things. Make a difference. You know, I can't do what I used to could do when I was 20 or 30 or 40. But I can still do a few things at 65, Lord. I still do a lot of things. Can't do what I used to, but help me to do diligence to do what I can before winter comes, Lord. Pray your blessing upon the message today, Lord. We love you this morning, and even so, come, Lord Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.